When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Be told. Please welcome to the Truth Be Told studios Peter Hargin and author Susan B. Martinez. Well, hello everybody. Thank you guys for joining us on this Friday afternoon.
You're quite welcome.
We have Peter in studio. It's rare we get anybody in studio, but Susan has been with us before. So, Dr. Susan Martinez, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I am amazing. Thank you so much. And I can't believe it's almost April of 2022. But one thing I always like to do is discuss religions and spirituality, because a lot of people in this world, you know, like I'm a Sagittarius. We're seekers of truth, and we search for peace, and we search for a connection to the other side through loved ones and, you know, death of our ancestors. And so we're always trying to find out who our past is and what's next after this life. And when you brought to me this OSPI Bible, I was like, I have never in my life heard of that before. So I want to thank you both for coming on the show and talking about that. So who wants to start and tell us where this Bible and this religion started?
Susan, you want to give the
I was just
background?
About to say, Peter, would you like to?
Okay, shall we toss a planet? What should we do here?
All right, Peter, let's just go. You can.
All right. The gentleman who was the medium for it. So I think I might make it clear, again, as I was talking to you before you came on the air, that 1848, 1850 period was the explosion of knowledge,
right,
that dwarfed the last 500 years, both in spiritual or religious understanding and scientific understanding. And there had been a lot of research done. And at this, the people who did the research into spirituality here weren't necessarily religious people. They were the scientists of that day who called themselves psychic investigators.
Oh, okay.
And
okay,
they were trying to find the questions to these ancient ancient questions. And to kind of get to Newburgh's thing, Newburgh's mother was a spiritualist, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Susan, I think his father was a regular minister or something. Is that correct?
I'm not sure. He was a farmer and a teacher.
Okay. So, and it turned out that Newburgh had spiritual or psychic abilities, the ability to clairvoyance, clairaudience.
Right, right.
But he also, in his investigations, would also uncover phonies. And then there's the ones you can't explain.
Right.
So I don't want to get too long in the backstory here.
Right.
But he was investigating the mystery, and he had initially been trained as a doctor, but became a dentist because he found doctoring just was too bloody. I guess especially back in the 1800s,
right,
late 1800s, and he was having these different experiences and visiting mediums and asking various questions. He also worked in the gold fields in California,
And Australia.
Australia, too. Didn't know that one. And got to be of a little means as well, which doesn't hurt if you're going to want to travel around the world and investigate stuff.
Which is what he did.
Definitely. So he gets to the point where he's investigating. The story, as I understand it, is that this one night, the whole room was filled with light, and were all these faces in the room. And they asked the voice or the voices in the room asked him if he would want to do a work for the Creator. And to do it, though, he had to purify himself by doing a total vegetarian diet, which we would say today a vegan diet.
Mm, right.
No animal, nuts, vegetables, fruits, porridges, such as that. And he decided to do that, and that was in the 70s. I think it was like a 10-year journey. At the end of it, he was told to buy a typewriter. He said, "I don't know how to type," and you know, these were those first typewriters,
right? So not too many did,
right?
Yeah,
and they said to just sit at the table and, you know, just put the hands over it. But basically, he was entranced. And as much as I believe this, I always try to say, supposedly, one thing Owasby says, spirit can't prove corpora or materiality, and materiality can't prove corpora.
Right.
So these experiences become very subjective experiences. Anyway, he's told not to look at anything he writes until he's finished, you know, to turn the page, to write. And he went into trance, and it's been edited different times, but let's say it turned out to be about an 800 and something book dealing with the history of the earth for 78,000, counting these years, let's say 78,173 years of man.
Right.
What Susan was talking about, in the sinking of Pan, the first large population of the world in the South Pacific, had a civilization that lasted before the sinking of the island or the continent about 40 or 44,000 years. The main thrust here is to understand in this book the degrees and working of the unseen dimensions, which we would call heaven. In the book, it's also referred to as the intermediate world, or the bound atmospherian realms to this planet that travel in the orbit of this planet.
Right.
And it talks about the structure of the heavens. So here, what the major thing in this book is, to make a big difference between the concept of God and gods and the Creator, that the term God in this book can refer to the Creator in the same way we say a president, a king, a ruler, a supervisor.
Right.
But the Creator is the Creator. The Creator is the all in all, beyond and overall. So you could say the gestalt of being.
Right.
For those who may not know gestalt, greater than the sum of all its parts. And it describes the lower heavens of the earth, the higher heavens, which they have like the earthbound, what people might call hells, or the places where the negative pull behavior people go down. After what we call death, the first resurrection, which is more individualistic, the second resurrection, which is the organized heavens that look after the doings of society, and then the third, what they call, go ahead, Susan.
I just want to interject that the Oswe Bible is unique in a number of ways, but the one that I want to mention now, which your comments reminded me of, is that it has an upper book and a lower book. Can you describe that?
Okay. It's written in a, again, not all the books in it, but there's an upper book which goes into the doings of the particular administration of the really higher heavens over the this intermediate heavens that we have around the planet. Or
when you look at the page, there's a line, there's a horizontal line in the middle of the page, and the upper book is what's above the line, and the lower book is what's below the line, and they are related narratives, but the upper book deals strictly with the happenings in the heavens of the earth, and the lower book deals with the earth happenings, and they're contemporary. You could say that, Peter, that they're contemporary?
Yeah, they're contemporary of the period of the time. So let's say the Book of Lyca, which is dealing with this, what the Hindus call, and also called in Oswapi, Nirvana, but Nirvana has kind of two parts, Etheria, and Nirvana is the highest part. And these are the unbound heavens, the true. And I'm trying to get out of religious time. The highest dimensions that individual life can transcend to. So let's say dimensions.
Can I say something?
Yeah, Susan, got it. You're
yeah,
one who would
fight. Whenever I'm asked to introduce Oswapi, I try to simplify it in my mind by saying that it deals with three major subjects in a unique way. It deals with the records of the race, in other words, what's been going on this planet for the last 80,000 years. It deals with science. And that's the middle of the book. There's even a fold-out, a centerfold in the middle showing the aspect of the heavens in the last 24,000 years. And thirdly, it deals with, with spirit. So there is a new science. We call it a new science, and that's referred to as cosmogony. There's science, history, and spirit, basically.
And the translation of the word Oswapi is just earth, sky, and spirit.
And, you know, the word ah, I've been seeing this on YouTube because I listen to a lot of Native American music, and the Native Americans still use the word ah, spelled A-H, to denote earth. So that's included in Oswapi. Spay, of course, is the outer regions.
Well, I have a question. So I have a picture of the creator. And was it Newsbro?
Newbro. The person who it was written through, or if you want to say wrote it, but we're saying that he was in trance and he wrote it. So the book is supposedly been piped through him.
Well, because, I mean, in some ways, I mean, this is very similar, I mean, to the Mormon with, you know, the visions that he, you know, had and wrote the book, you know, the Book of Mormon. How many people...
Right, the method, might be the same, but what you have to distinguish is what the source of it is.
Right.
I want to say that throughout Oswapi, and there are many books within Oswapi, 33 of them, 33 plus or minus a few, there is a constant display of the conflict going on between the real gods and the false gods, and once you become familiar with this setup, with this understanding, you can begin to recognize what the false gods have done. Peter might be a good one to talk about the false gods.
Yeah, I think what I, and again, I'm trying to put this in language because a lot of people, you know, the idea of the unseen, it's hard to grasp. But in the old Hermetic adage, as below, so above, as above, so below, that as far as the atmosphere and worlds that are connected with this planet, it is not much different. There's warfare,
right.
There's conflict, there's ego. There's something in OWASPI. So the false gods, in the concept of the OWASPI, all the false gods initially were mortals on this planet who died and went up in the ranks.
So what we call in most religions prophets are considered false gods?
No. They, okay. You and I die. We go to the spirit world.
Right.
We're Joe Nobody. We go to schools.
Who said? No, I was kidding.
Right. We, and this is like, as we have schools and nurseries here,
right.
They have it.
But same there.
A higher vibratory.
Right.
What we get here is science has already been there, given to us when they think we're ready for it.
Right.
And so they're all initially trained in the one belief of the one creator and nonviolence and all this. Then just like we have tyrants here when times of darkness and right. times of light, so do they there. So when there's a time of darkness in the lower heavens or chaos,
right.
the false gods lose belief in an unseen creator, and they set up their own kingdoms, and humans are looking for someone to worship who they can hold, look at, visualize.
Wow.
So all yeah. the in this teaching, all the religions that get messed up initially were saying all the same things. The false gods, or the, we could say, usurpers in using terms of earth terms, set up these kingdoms, these principalities, mm-hmm. these nations. And as currency, as money is some power here, followers and people for their heavens is the power.
With
dominion, if you will.
With this religion, you know, with, let's say, Christianity, there's... if you're a good person, you go to heaven. If you're a bad person, you go to hell. What is the theory on that with...
Well, I just want to correct something. One of the things with Christianity is, no matter in the strictest kind of Christianity that came out of the Council of Nicaea and Constantine, which took the least... There were many types of Christianity. Many of them did not believe, the early ones, that Christ was the Son of God. He right. was a prophet, and the term Son right. of God means someone who spirit or heaven speaks for.
Right.
And said, you know, the idea here is, even if you're good, whatever good you are in that religion, if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior, you're going to hell.
Right.
This says good works, love, kindness, nonviolence, no warfare.
Right.
When the Creator said, thou shalt not kill, it was as clear for a nation self as it was for an individual.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
So the false gods, whose thing is in power and destruction and setting up their own kingdom.
Right.
So we can look at it as what we see when we see revolutions. In fact, we can see this, what's happening in Russia and Ukraine.
Right.
That mimics what happens here.
But can you, let's say, you know, we said, let's shall not kill. And as we know, well, I've known a lot of great Christians that have been in the military, went to war, and killed many people during war.
What OWASPI says, and I hear what you say. Now, let me make this clear from my own personal opinion.
Right.
Now, what also OWASPI does stretch, you like the Quakers do, you have to follow your own highest light.
Hmm.
And I'll give you an example. There was a General Greene in the Revolutionary War who was a Quaker. He believed that you shouldn't kill, you shouldn't go to war, but he, at the same time, just like they were Quakers who went in war in a second, that the moral code, the necessity to, so one has to make their own choice. In OWASPI, it's saying that the Creator said this, meaning not to go to war and to believe that you are an eternal being. Now, I'm trying to do this in the clearest way. So as power is here, and I'm saying I honor people who believe, who say, hey, you know, I've got to protect my children, my country. And a lot of times we give them a hard time when they come back.
Right.
But it's important that we understand, you know, the soul. So I'm getting off. What I mean is that OWASPI says you have
Peter,
to think for yourself.
Peter, can I?
Let me just finish this
what
one
you
thing.
Talk?
We have to think for ourselves. And no matter, there's no book, there's no religion, including this one,
right,
is there to tell you what to do. You have to eventually have to make your mind. Susan, go ahead.
As per this conversation, I was listening to what you said, and it made me think of something that's in OWASPI, which is a definition of the beast. The beast. The two horns of the beast are might and righteousness. So that's where you see the link between the military and the Christianity, or whatever religion is dominating that country. The two horns of the beast are might and righteousness.
I would add to that what OWASPI also talks about, and they call, in OWASPI, it's called the tetrax. In more psychological terms, seven negative character traits that all human beings have that come more from the animal man, right, than the ethical or spiritual man.
I want to say that Peter's been really working on the tetrax, particularly this year, and bringing it to our attention, and I'm going to read them to you, if that's okay. There's seven of them.
I'd love to hear it.
The first one is Uz. I'm sorry, Uk. Uk, it's spelled UK, and it stands for vanity, arrogance, and iniquity. There's also the Hebrew word for it, Aven. The second one is Owel, and that stands for tattling and slander, and in Hebrew, Dibba. Isn't that interesting that OWOW stands for tattling and slander? When you hear something shocking, you go, oh, wow.
Right.
You know?
That is pretty funny.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The third one is Belial, and some people are familiar with that term, and it stands for worthlessness and injustice. And the fourth one is Ugsga. And that stands for lying and falsehood and joking.
The evil joking.
In the negative sense only. The next one is Anash, and that stands for wickedness and strife and stubbornness. The next one is Ra, the flesh evils. And the last one is Satan, leadership and love of admiration.
Yeah, and
the tetracts were given to the Hebrews, the Vedics, and the Algonquins.
And it would also say,
see, so it was global. The Creator's revelations was global in each of these periods.
What I wanted to
revelations, which
go ahead. Yeah,
I'm okay.
Also, what soon that what she read, that is the larger tetracts. Now the ones that were put on our shoulder are similar, but some of the names are different. Like Anash is stubbornness in word or deed.
Hishta.
Hello?
The Hebrew is Hishta.
Hishta. Stubbornness in word or deed that leads to destruction. And that can mean a destruction. I have a bad habit. I'm not letting go of it. Hmm. Okay. All, you know, sort of kind of thing. The
stubbornness is destructive.
Right. So, so some of the names where it applies to the person's own seven tetracts, but the other seven tetracts that Susan is like the larger picture, a national one, or this, or what OASPI refers to as Enromanius. Enromanius is perhaps more like what the real Satan kind of concept. It is, the way I look at it, it is disunity, where the Creator, the all person in the universe, is unity and harmony. So it is the counterforce. And the
there's a point in common with the Holy Bible, the Christian Bible, because I have it in my notes and I never could follow this up, but Reuben in the Holy Bible also declared the seven tetracts. They may have been called, it's the word tetract is spelled the same as our word detract, only it begins with a T, not a D. And so you can kind of visualize it as a detracting from your character. You know, I went over this list the other day, and I identified two of them that are my problem, and I've been working on it ever since.
Yeah, I think that's what Susan brings, an important thing, what I want to follow up here, is that, yes, and I like, and this is my own way of doing it because I can't prove something that is unless you have the experiences. But the whether you're being harassed by imaginary creatures you invent, or you have neighbors or discarnates, the greatest enemy of ourselves is ourself. So the seven tetracts, the vanity, the conceit that, oh, I'm all that in a bag of chips kind of thing, is we have to know our entry point for anything else negative that can use our own negativity against us.
Right.
And so in one of the books of OASP, it talks about, for us in the mortal condition, the greatest work is understanding these seven traits, which is similar.
All change is from within.
Yeah.
And you don't get change, real change, without it coming from within.
So I look at the tetracts, if you're like New York Harbor, you got all these little ports.
Right.
So each, you got seven ports, and different vessels come and dock. If your tetracts are in dominance, it's going to be the bad ships with the bad people docking and kind of cheering you on to your own wickedness. The more you can overcome your tetracts, one of the kind of trick statements in a way of OASP is that, because, you know, a lot of life here is like of a paradox.
Right.
If you seek leadership, that is selfishness. If you deny leadership when presented to you, that's selfishness. you just seek to do the best you can in the talents that you're given. Mm. And if fame comes, cool. If a chance to be a supervisor comes, and I had that play out in my own life. I worked in one of the first women children's programs in the South Bronx of recovering addicts, and they could have up to three of their children in the program, 2 year live in. And I was offered because I had my master's and all, I was offered a supervisor's job as second in command of the clinical department. And I turned it down two times because truth, some of my staff were crazier than the clients, you know? So,
ain't that the truth in many areas?
I'm sitting there going, whoa, I got out of that. And then I remembered that line from Mowaspe. And I went, oops. let me step back here because I don't want all that extra. It's enough I got this caseload and these other folks here. So it is that kind of thing. Really, to go back to the Greek statement, know thyself. Mm-hmm. And so whether we want to get into the concept of other dimensions,
right,
what we're really talking about is the highest ideals that human beings have ever had, from whatever way, philosophy. So, and the word atheist in the beginning in the time of the persecution of Jews and Christians in the earliest times, they were, the word atheist applied to them because before the cult of Jesus, the only Son of God, came, he was just a mouthpiece for the Creator, just a Messiah, like right. Moses or Abraham.
Right.
And so believing in something you can't see or hold, you don't believe in the gods, you're an atheist. So the original Christians and the Jews, because as the inner temple in Judaism was just an empty room, there was nothing in it to say, how can you define and imagine or even name our God?
Hmm. Wow.
So the false gods take, I'll give an example. I know you may get some real fired up stuff from some kinds of Christians.
We like a little so controversy.
When Jesus of Nazareth was said to say, I am the way and the light.
Right.
More than likely what he said was, the I am is the way and the light. The I am that I yeah. am.
Right.
And you also have to understand language. The Semitic languages and Hamo-Semitic languages have 2 to 3 different meanings to their words. And it's tonal. Mm-hmm. The scriptures were copied by the Greeks and the Romans, whose, particularly the Romans, is much more fixed and, you know, builder kind of language.
Right.
So you have to really, that's why most of the real knowledge was given mouth to ear, because you have the laws written down that can, and same like with the author, you can, it's a book. It's dead words on a mm-hmm. page. You have to ask for the light, for the knowledge.
Right.
So the looking, searching, asking, doing the research of all these different realities. And I remember one of the things I was most impressed of going to a synagogue when I was younger. I grew up in a particularly wealthy town that was predominantly Jewish on the Jersey Shore between Long Branch and Asbury Park, named Deal. And I go to synagogue with my friends, and they made much more sense than when I went to church with my Christian friends. But in a lot of the commentaries that are made by the rabbis at the bottom of right. the page are said in such a way, they don't always agree. And same with philosophy. Susan and I have, you know, debated things. Other of us, we have to think, analyze, understand, And one of the things it says in OWASP, that's why I'm one of them is attracted to it, no two people can see or understand any in the exact same way. So we're right. all kaleidoscoping.
Sure. We're all individuals.
Right. And we're kaleidoscoping our individual. If I have a cross street, and I'm on one corner, you're on another, Dan is on another, Susan's on another, I will tell the truth of my vision.
And there's going to be completely different.
Or if not completely, it's going to be angularly with other information that right. I could not perceive. If you have a six-way cross street, mm-hmm. On infinitum. So what OWASP's talking about is the secret to happy life here, a happy life there, is basically the golden rule and the Ten Commandments. You treat people the way you want to be treated.
Right.
Or even the silver rule, which is, a lot of people get it completely, never to do anything to anyone else that you would find hateful done to yourself. The golden rule says, just treat them the way you want to be, whatever it is. Like, right. don't do that to them if you don't want to.
Treat your neighbor like you
want to be treated.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Susan.
I have a word to say on the, I'm trying to keep up here, on the false gods. I want to focus on something here. The prophecy in OWASP, which is very powerful, predicts the toppling the false gods in this time, in the time we're living in now. And it's called, the new era is called Cosmon. And it more or less, you know, suggests a cosmic man where we reconnect with the rest of the universe. So I wanted you to know about Cosmon because that's what we believe in and think is all the unraveling that's going on now is necessary in order to get a fresh start. And I wanted to mention one other term so that people have understand this. We're called faithists, and faithists have always been on the earth, but at different in different cycles. There's a lot of history for anyone who wants to know what was going on here in the last 80,000 years. And by the way, when that figure came up, the first thing that sprang to my mind was that it's in total conflict with what paleontology and all the experts, quote unquote, are telling us about the tenure of man on Earth, that he's been here for millions of years. Our figures only show about 75,000 years for the existence of man on Earth.
I think I would like to add to that, that as far, well, there's two things here. We don't take into consideration.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The radioactivity that comes from space. When there were meteor showers, and this is a theory of mine, it's certainly not something I can prove, but you have a period of time when the meteors fell. Now, the Earth's rocks are older, so when you do carbon dating, you may possibly get a much longer date. And I'm not saying the 6,000-year kind of thing to people,
right.
But it would be a much less time. What even science says, that And OWASP does say about the creator prepares for a million years. So there might have been different hominids that built up to this. I don't know. But cerebral cortex did not start developing to 100,000 years ago. In Owasbee, the little race that was born, that were kind of the teachers of all the rest of us who, mm-hmm. who they were advanced, had speech. So you see, the cortex gets developed 100,000 years ago. Speech, which is the kind of speech we have, is the ability to express abstract mm-hmm. thought, comes right. into being, and we start what we know as ourselves now. But I think what I agree with Susan is, when we understand all this matter that has made, and even in our science programs now, they say about different times this crashed into the earth and it cooled here. All this process right. might give us a much ancient time because of what's crashed into us is matter in space that's been out there longer than the planet. Now, this is a theory.
Right.
Also, as we go from in the spiritual sense, we go through different dominions of the Aetherian heavens that may have a radioactive or radiant effect, maybe. I mean, and again, right. this, to say, oh, I know for a fact.
Peter,
go ahead.
It's also showbiz. It's also showbiz. You know, like the experts have to get the money, to get the funding, they have to come up with an older form of man. You know, you always right. see these breaking news. It's just it's BS. I mean, they have extended it. I tracked it, and first it was 100,000 years that we lived here on Earth, and then it was 1 million, and then the next guy upped him to 2 million, and now I don't know how far back they've gone. But they keep changing it.
Let me ask you both this, because you know, on Truth Be Told, we talk a lot about, you know, in the paranormal world, UFOs, you know. How did we get here on Earth? You know, even in the Bible, talked about potentially, you know, gods and all this stuff. Does the Owasbee talk about our beginning of existence on this planet, or how did we get here?
Let me start that.
Please.
There were on this planet 80,000 years, the only humans on this planet 80,000 years ago were kind of a subhuman type, of fitting in with the hominid category. What happened is that an angelic race was brought down and embodied on Earth, and they, in order to raise up man, in order to create mankind.
Right.
And they were told not to mingle with the Earth people, the indigenous people, but they did, and they created the race of Ihans. Do I have that right so far, Peter?
Yeah, they were little people, and again, most of the book talks about white and yellow, but when you read about it later in Africa, the Ihans were of all colors. But the point here is that the people who came to suppose, and again, I'm trying to be scientific, but the story goes that when a planet reaches a certain point for its development to bring man,
right.
Which, one of the definitions of man is corporeal consciousness, or consciousness, of abstract consciousness,
right.
That these angelic or essence beings, of the essence of people who died on other worlds in infancy and childhood,
mm-hmm.
had to be whole. You need a full corporeal experience to be fully created being. So they died early in infancy. they became very profoundly educated in the ways of the spiritual life, but they had not the base understanding of corporeality.
Hmm.
And so their job is to come on any world. What Osby says is that this is not the only, you know, it's not a backwater God sitting in empty space that created on it. Worlds are going in and out in, at infancy, maturity, dying, just like people, animals, suns, you know, star suns, galaxies. It's an ongoing process. So these beings, these one-time mortals on some planet, have not had a full education. They come and they mate. Now, the story, what Susan is saying, one of the fascinating things is that were they supposed to really not mix, and it wasn't time, and they were going to help that race of what they call Asu or also Adam. So Adam is a different kind of Adam than we understand.
Right.
Weren't supposed to, or they now, these beings, like little children, and with their desires, and they mate. If you tell them not to do something, you know they're going to do it.
Right.
So, let me, I just wanted to point this out, that the chief of the group, you know, tells them what to do, and they don't know about corporate, so they end up mixing. Some of them mix, and he says, "Oh, didn't you understand what I said? That, you know, it was like, oh, and plus these beings have never had the passions of the animal man because they died in infancy or early childhood. So all of a sudden, it's like one of the Star Trek things where." You know, some being goes into Spock or someone says, oh, wow, all these feelings. This is amazing. You know, this kind of thing.
Right, right.
So there's this mixing.
Susan wanted to make a point about
I'm sorry,
that
go ahead.
The
go.
Topic changes. This is the thing that after doing a thorough study of Owosbe and the records of the race, I saw that not only did the original Ihans intermingle with the ground people, the earth people, but this is the entire history of the human race is intermingling and sometimes forbidden. There were some cycles in which the Ihan women were raped in the fields while they were working.
Yeah.
The bottom line here is that evolution is it's another lie. All we ever had on this earth was the mixing of the races, and this is part of the prophecy for Cosman itself, for what's happening now and what will be happening in the future, that thousands of years from now, probably the races will be so mixed that there won't be any more races.
Well, and just,
and I feel that race is one of the key issues of these times.
And that's
I feel that what's going on in Ukraine, what's
right,
going on with the
yes.
refugee crisis all over the place.
Yeah, I think the term
our obsession with Black Lives Matter, all of it.
The term race, a lot of people forget, has been used in many ways. Even in Owosby, it says your family race.
Right.
The North America, all people on North America from an anthropological thing who have the same customs were the North American race. They used to be the Germans with the German race, the Austrian race.
Right.
And really looked as another person. The royalty and their genetic superiority were that race and how, you know, that whole thing of the king and they're just got, they're just better folks.
Right.
Now, if you got a bigger wallet with more money, now you the better folks.
That, yeah.
Kind of thing.
And to complete my thought, the prophecy is for brotherhood. This is really what we love so much about Owosbe. This is what's happening. This is what's happening now, and this is what our goal is, universal brotherhood.
Well, just because... because of time, and people in the chat room have already said you need to have these two back and do a part two, because we're we're just touching the surface on this.
Oh yes.
And so, but but I do want to ask you both this, you know, such as the Holy Bible, you know, they have the rapture and, you know, Revelations and all this, because again, I don't know this Bible, a waspy. Could you talk about any type of predictions of what is to come?
Oh, yeah. We've got prophecy galore, and we understand that there is a great deal of destruction on the way and in the present, and that it is the forerunner of the new time, of the cosmic time. It's unavoidable. Peter?
Yeah, I was gonna, I think there's, I'm sorry, my throat is, it's scratchier and sounds, making me sound older than I want to sound.
Not used to talking so much, huh?
Well, I did, you know, in anticipation, though I wanted to be, you know, like, oh, this, I'm going to just be cool about that. Of course, I was up half the night saying, how's this going to go, blah, blah, blah.
So far, it's been going great on both ends. So,
but
you guys are doing great.
The time, it has to do with all planets, supposedly, like the Earth. All corporeal planets where people are created to for immortality. Mm-hmm. Go through the same basic cycles, though some of the events may be different from the beginning of their particular quote-unquote humanity to the end, to the final physical perfection, if you will. So it's a process of going. We think of ourselves like here, but we're talking about, it's, let's say it starts over here. But actually, we're going more and more inward and inward and inward to a center, for one sense, or if you want, upward, upward.
I want to add to answer Tony's question about prophecy, that this new time, we're in a new time, we're edging our way into it, is a time of light, greater light. This is a cosmic thing, and you can see it on the Savorkum chart that I referred to, the fold-out in the center of Oaspe in the Book of Cosmogony and Prophecy. There is more light, heavenly light, good light, powerful creative light coming onto the Earth now. It's here now. Don't think that this is entirely a positive thing. When you enter these studies, you see that the new light, increased light, brings empowers even evil things. It's a little complicated, but the power is there, the light is there, and this is something that has been causing the confusion that's in the world now.
There's
the greater light.
Go ahead.
It's causing all this confusion. There's a great deal of confusion. People don't know what to think anymore. And that's the light, because it's pushing us toward the inner understanding.
Another way of looking at it, look at what we were talking about before we got on the air. The technological expansion is so mind-boggling.
Right.
This is all light. But
you know, Peter, I think Oaspe says that every planet that reaches the stage of Cosmon is in a juggernaut of mechanism and technology.
Yeah.
Am I right?
From what I understand, yes, because it's so much knowledge pouring out that it's just hard to digest. It's like, how can I eat the whole pie in one bite?
Right.
I've tried.
But also I want to point out these cycles. Is even when the light comes, it's also the darkness has been doing what it wants, or the false teachings. So when the light's coming down, it starts disrupting those strongholds. Mm-hmm. They jump down on us because their world, their hold on things is falling apart.
Right.
In fact, I think we're in a time of an almost equal balance between the light and the darkness at this time. And the future, what the future holds, and when I say the future, I mean I'm looking at several decades, is where the light becomes more dominant than the darkness. Mm. This is what we're looking forward to. This is a philosophy of hope. People have lost hope, and they've lost faith because they're in a quandary over all the lies we've been forced to live with.
Right.
But this is light that's coming and light that's here now, and we're meant to do creative things with it.
And since, you know, just like, it, you know, that everything has its similarities here. When what we're in now is sort of like, I'm just going to use it because it's probably me, not quite adolescence. But adolescence is this time, it's very painful, growing pains. Where we're trying to hold on to the past, we want the future.
Right.
And one of the definitions in one of my books, college books, was they said it humorously, but it's a certain truth, that adolescence is the natural time of insanity. Okay, so on the child's side, they want to be free, but yet they want to be told what to do. The parent wants to give them freedom, but's too afraid to give them to them. So there's a tug of war. In OWASPE, there's an energy called esfoma. Esfoma is pictured as two arrows going in the opposite direction. In the terms of the New Testament, the sheep's and the goats. And you see it here. And I'm not going to get into social political stuff, but people become so
fixed. I'd like to get into the sheep's and the goats when you're done.
Okay, definitely. We get so fixed in an ideology. Like, my party is like my team. I don't care what they do.
Right.
Instead of my country. So, Susan?
The sheep and the goats, this is an interesting motif because it appears in OWASPE and it also appears in the Holy Bible. And look at how it was predicted 2,000 years ago in the Holy Bible, that this is a way of expressing the dividing of the way, the dividing of humanity, going each segment going its separate way. And this is another answer to Tony's question about prophecy, because this is the main thrust of what is happening now and what is destined to happen, that we will the opposing forces in the world today will separate, will divide. There's plenty of stuff going on in the world that is a good example of that. The final verse in OWASPE, which is about 750,000 words, it is a 900-page volume. The final verse indicates the dividing of humanity and the triumph of goodness on earth.
Wow.
And Tony,
yes.
Another part of prophecy is that America is called Gautama in OWASPE, and we are destined to lead the world into the new light.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Let me make a comment on that. Going back to the time that we talked about the Aryan people and the Asu people,
the ground people.
Well, I think Asu was more like they picture them in the kind of a boreal, but you know, they're tree people, but they're sort of like the chimp.
They went on all fours. That's one of the reasons they call them ground people.
Right. No, but I'm saying the picture of Asu in the trees. It's like, and there's a type of monkey that I saw, or ape, that almost looked that somewhere in East Asia, that has a very kind of human build, and kind of fits this type of Asu. But what I'm saying is that the leader, the archangel they were talking about, who becomes the first god or superintendent of the planet.
Right.
they talk about civilization starting from like Pan, from the east coming west. Now we see historically civilization move from east to west.
Right.
This continent was to be the place where all the peoples, and shall we say, the end game, the final culmination and mixing of all peoples and tribes into one nation.
Right.
So the idea
of the meeting of the nations.
Right. So this individual called Cephantes was to kind of, you know, like when they talk about eyeballing you, he like imprints this energy that is only here in North America that will foster what we're talking. So when we talk about days, we have to, you know, people say, or even in the New Testament, another way that I use for Cosman, and the people call it the New Age, it's still the same thing, but so is the Messianic Age. But it is an age. It is not like, well, I'm going to sit on a throne. It's our own learning to judge ourselves, to judge, to, and Owasso says, in this period of time, the whole species has reached comprehensible judgment. In the early days,
and for prophecy, this is the first cycle where we will not have a prophet. There will be thousands of prophets. That ties right in with what you're saying. It has to come from the individual working things out for himself.
So the other piece about that is before, think about this, think of these transcendent beings. I want to use the word angels, or essences of intelligence that were once mortals, used to lead us by the hand and teach us. And so you had more strict mystery schools and education. In this era, in Cosman, there is no leader forth. There's a Jesus or an archangel with a big trumpet isn't happening. But thousands and then millions of regular people, because they're now developing the essence of their higher nature or their divine nature or that part of the creator that lives in everything. And so we have to, and that's why people are at such different degrees, even with our faces group, of development, because in one sense, and I'm going to use the word God, we are raising God, our own higher nature, our own, I like the word in less spiritual terms, our ethical nature, our ability to rationally and by our own nature want peace and no violence.
Well, I'm going to have you guys back because I've actually already went over time, but you guys are both so fascinating. I didn't hardly have to say a word, and I loved it. you guys are
just sit back and listen to me and Peter.
It is because, you know, some things that I know, I'm one of those guys, I know a little bit about a lot. This one I knew nothing about, so it was a joy just to learn and be a student of you guys. And I know people in the chat room were just, some people said they love you both and want to know how they can, you know, get a hold of you, you know, watch more stuff about you. And then, you know, they also, Ospi, they want to know more about it, or they already knew about it and they love the teachings of it. So,
well, here's the thing. There's others of us. I mean, it is so small.
Right.
But also it says that because one of the things it says in Osby, and I think this is really important, the administrative officer of the planet in Osby, I don't want to use the word God because people, you know, got their own thing about God. But the chief administrative officer says, do you think I'm only going to use the faithless, meaning the people who know about Osby? I am raising up all kinds of people to bring, quote unquote, the kingdom. Right. All the progressive movements, the people who are fighting for peace, the people who are the Quakers, All these people coming together. Like as I said, I'm associated with the Quakers. And in OSB, they said, you know, Quakers really are faithless people who in heart, but they don't have the rites and ceremonies, but it's against war,
right?
Social justice. But the old, the progressives in the Islamic faith, the Jewish faith, we're all working together in these movements to make better housing,
right?
To end racial violence, to blah, blah, blah. I don't care if you're an atheist, it don't make any difference. Because if you're a rational, moral, ethical, even that you say you don't believe in a creator or a God, you believe in that essence because you live in it.
Right. Right.
And you can go to church and cry Jesus, Buddha, whoever you want, and be out there robbing and stealing,
oh, yeah,
thinking you're going to get to heaven because you're going to call on him. Well, I don't think the creator is a fool.
No.
We may be
created all this. That's like a, you know, those parents that know what their children are doing.
Yeah. You know.
It's like, we knew you snuck out. Well, thank you both so much. And Susan, how do people find more out about you and all your book? Because you have tons of them.
The usual way, I guess. But Peter is vice president of UFK, which is the United Faithless of Cosman, and we have meetups all the time.
Oh, nice.
And meditations, and we welcome people who want to improve themselves and improve other things as well.
Right. And even though we have, for the sake of having an organized organization, religion, we do by consensus. We have a board, and we have titles, but there's only one ruler, and that's the infinite being, the great spirit.
Right.
But for convenience and also for doing good, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, one way is to contact the Universal Faithless of Cosman. You can call Joan Greer. I'm trying to think. Joan, wait, do you know Joan's email address, Susan, offhand?
I do, but do you have any number handy, Peter?
I have her number. I can give her number.
Well, what about your number?
I guess spirit has moved me to something I didn't want to do because I'm really, like,
you know, their website is, you just type in Universal Faithless of Cosman.
Yeah.
And I'll put that in the chat room.
And that's where the contact information is.
So, yeah, we'll do that. Go through that chat. I got out of my number. But I got to get out of my shell, right?
Yeah, I put it in the chat room so people can see it there.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, that would be the best way. Just go to the site. Before we close that, I really want what I read to you before.
Oh, yeah, yeah, please.
Because this is an important part. Because a lot of people who get in to the OWASP, and I understand because I totally disliked organized religion as such. But these are the three major definitions of religion. A pursuit or interest to which one ascribes supreme importance. That is anything from the stock market, zippy to chimp, to the creator.
Well, haven't they made a religion of it, of money?
Right. Yeah. Well, we can get that whole thing of mammonism.
Right, right.
Mammon is the Babylonian god of wealth and individual capital. Both in OWASP and the regular Bible says you're either going to follow God or mammon. You can't do both.
Right.
Now the second one is a particular system of faith or worship. The last one is the one we're most familiar with because where we live in this country, the belief and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods.
Mm.
So a friend of mine, an associate, Dr. Glenn Kendall, he is working on the construct of the difference between theology and creology, referring to the creator.
Oh, I love that. So.
Oh, I have Joan's email address.
Go ahead and give that, and then we'll close out because I'm going to get you guys back for part two.
Joan H. Greer, one. They all run together at Yahoo.
Perfect. And I want to thank you both.
And I have her phone number. Should I give her phone number?
Is it okay to give?
The only trouble with the phone number is that they're so busy, they take a long time to listen to their. We can give it.
All right, let's stick with the email address.
Let's do the email first because we are infinitely small as a group.
For now.
But again, it's something, what I'm saying, the idea here, we don't proselytize, which really does make it difficult.
Right.
Even the Quakers once proselytized. There was a time that the Jews, about the time of Muhammad, were proselytizing. So you get a base.
Right.
But we don't proselytize. And we're always trying to figure out how do we advertise without advertising, which we're sort of doing
it's
now.
Word of mouth. And what you're doing now.
We're instructed not to try to convince conceited adults.
Right.
And the focus of the mission is children.
Right. And that's the other thing, to get to a point where, and right now we're not, I don't think in an age it's cool because there's too much crazy evil stuff going on, but where children who have nobody will be adopted by these communes. So this is a very important part. First, human beings other than indigenous people who have kept kind of contact with Earth Mother.
Right.
First, empires. Next, democratic republics. Then small communal groups interacting with each other of no larger than 3,000 people. Because after, according
colonies,
to...
Colonies, really.
What did you say?
Individual colonies.
Yeah, colonies, communes, extended families.
Of like-minded people. Each one kind of with a specialty.
Right.
And a lot of interaction between them.
Right. But it is an evolutionary in the sense of evolution, in the sense of development. These things don't happen overnight. They also happen, like we said, we hit Cosman, which we have comprehensible judgment, meaning that people can think for themselves. In the early days, according to what Owasi says, it was only 1% of the population that had immortality. Hmm. And they were more like brutes. Okay, then the next cycle, 10%, blah, blah, blah. About the time of Moses.
And by the time of Moses, it reached 98%.
Yeah.
And now it's 100% of humanity capable of spiritual light.
And not being bossed around.
The ground people had no spiritual light, and they had no speech.
Right, and they could exist in the lower heavens, but they would go out because the intellectual ability of having that frontal cortex as a development spot for essence is a very important thing. They didn't have it, so they would just kind of go back into the ocean of creation, kind of.
Well, do you guys promise to come back for a part two?
Yeah.
Susan, I got
promise.
I have two yeses. So people in the chat room, you guys can applaud now. And but thank you both, and it's been a pleasure. This is Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told, and so Mondays is Robert Hensley does the Minuteman Report. Wednesdays we have Bonnie Burkert, who does the Truth Be Told transformation. Of course, I'm here every Friday, and you guys keep a lookout for on our website and social medias. And make sure you like, share this show. I know there's a lot of people said this was one of the best ones we had. So out of, 600-700 shows, please, if it's that good, please share it to everybody else. Other than that, we're out of here. I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Till next time, take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
This has been another episode of Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for watching. Recorded live at UBN Go Studios in Burbank, California. Join us on social media. Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio. Instagram, Truth Be Told Paranormal. Go to Truth Be Told Worldwide for more information on upcoming shows.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah.
Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.